Thank you, Brother Mark. I appreciate the invitation to come and be with you tonight. I'd hoped to get to hear Brother Mark preach, but he had other plans, so I'm here, and we'll try to fill the gap, okay? I noticed that most of the hymns that we sung were taken from, most of them were taken from the Psalms, and I kept waiting for you to sing the one that I'm going to be looking at tonight, and we never did. So if you would, take your copy of the Word of God, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 13. Psalms, chapter number 13. This is not a well-known psalm. I don't think that I've ever heard anyone preach from this particular psalm, and yet there is much here for our edification tonight. If you would, if you're able, stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 13. The psalmist said in verse 1, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Father, thank you for the time of fellowship around the things of God that we've already enjoyed tonight. Thank you for the hymns that prepare our hearts to worship you. Father, I pray that you bless your word. Father, not only the reading of it, but Father, the preaching of it. I pray that you would help the speaker. And Father, may you help the hearer. Father, I pray you give us things that will help us as we follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Speaking tonight on the subject of from sadness to singing. From sadness to singing. Many of the Psalms are written with a particular historical event in view, and yet this Psalm does not. It seems to be more generic, as David penned it with a general sense of encouraging those who are down. He is writing from personal experience here. This is one of a cluster of Psalms. If you read Psalm 3 through Psalm 14, I call them Help Lord Psalms. These are Psalms in which David asked God to do things for him that he cannot do for himself. David is in some circumstances that only God can deliver him from. And so this Psalm seems to be written for every particular need and every dark hour that you and I may go through in our Christian experience. Psalm 13 is written certainly with a sob and a tear in David's eye. And he has some issues that he can't resolve on his own. Now, we don't really know what's going on here. David could have been in war. There may be war going on. It could be that he's being persecuted by a physical enemy such as Saul when he was pursuing David to kill him. And certainly you and I know that we have an enemy who's a roaring lion that constantly is dogging us and following us to discourage us. David had some, no doubt, emotional turmoil here. He may be facing death. He mentions the fact that death has become more real in his thinking. And certainly there is a spiritual crisis going on in the life of David. And so whatever dilemma you're facing tonight, I'm glad that this psalm has something for us. It is addressed to those, if you'll notice in the heading, it is addressed to those who lead the music. So not only was it a psalm, but it was also put to music, evidently, and it was sung as a means of encouragement. The psalm divides itself in three parts, verse 1 and 2, verse 3 and 4, and verse 5 and 6. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. There is the sadness of the psalmist. Here he asked the question four times, O Lord, How long? Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us have said, "Oh Lord, how long?" Somebody said, "I'd never do that." I think most of God's people have done that, and probably more than once. But David here feels a genuine sense of abandonment of God. He is saying to God, "Where are you? How long am I going to be in this situation that I'm in?" That's the devil's favorite tool that he uses on us. You know, something happens, we go through a period of darkness, and the devil will tell you right away, God doesn't love you. God has forgotten you. God does not keep his promises. And so David is going through that very thing here in Psalm chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. But the question goes far beyond how long. David is not saying how many weeks or months or days I have to wait. David is saying here, Lord, it's already been too long. There is in the text here David's impatience. He is saying, God, this thing has gone on way too long. I don't know about you, but there are periods in our life. Seems like we're living under a dark cloud. We've got a dear lady in our church now, and she's the only believer in her home. And I've never seen anybody who experienced as many trials and difficulties as that dear lady does. And certainly the devil whispers in her ear, God's forgotten all about you. Your family don't care, and God has forgotten you and forsaken you. And so David is in an extended trial. This is not just a couple of days or a couple of weeks, but this is something that's been going on in David's life for a long time. And so he said, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I need some help. How long will you forsake me? Here he talks about communing with his soul. And no doubt he says within himself, I don't know how much longer I can take this. I don't know how much longer I can go on under these circumstances. We need to be reminded tonight. We talk about the sovereignty of God. We talk about the providence of God. And then when trial strikes, we want God to give us instant relief. Let me tell you, God always honors his word. He always honors his promise, but he doesn't do it on our time schedule. And so David here gives out this haunting cry. God, I've got to have some help. I need deliverance. How long will you forsake me? Turn back to chapter 6. This is another one of those songs that go with this group. This cluster of Psalms, chapter 6, look at verse 2. Psalm 6, verse 2. Notice what he says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, and here it is, here's the question again, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake, or deliver me for thy mercy's sake. I am weary with my groaning all the night. Make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eyes consume because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. And David here feels like God has forgotten him. He has forsaken him and left him to go on his own. But may I say to you, and those of us who have been in ministry, those of us who have lived on the mission field, we've had those periods of time where we said to God, how long? Lord, are you going to deliver us, or are we just going to go under? And that was David's attitude here. But may I say to you, God never forgets his own. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 through 16, and I'll not turn there, tells us that a woman may forget her suckling child, but God will never forget his people. God will never forget his children. Somebody said, what about all this mess we're in and how dark the world is? Listen, God still has his eye on his people. He'll not forget us and he'll not forsake us. If you read on in that passage in Isaiah, Isaiah says that we are engraved on the palms of his hands and that we are continually before him. He knows who we are tonight. He has his eye on his church. He has his eye on his people. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. David didn't have that passage, but we do. We can look back to the cross, and we can thank God that we have these passages. It says that God is always at hand. We may not be able to see him. We may not be able to sense his presence, but he is always there, and he's always near us. Passage said, the Lord is my helper. The writer of Hebrews says he's there to help just in time of need. It means just before the crisis gets to be too great. And all we see that happen in this psalm. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Peter said, cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I'll tell you, I've run to that passage time and time again. It's a solace and a comfort and a help in time of need. Romans 8, 28. You know, we love that passage. We think of that passage in the light of bright providence of God. But then when trials come, we seem to forget that the dark providences come from God as well. All things work together. All things. Even those things that don't seem to go right. When we're in David's position and we're saying, oh Lord, how long? The sovereignty of God is still in effect. God still cares for his people. David said, your face is hidden from me. Verse 1. How long will you hide your face? You know, if it wasn't for Christ, we'd not see any of the face of God. Paul tells us that when Christ came, there was to a point the unveiling of who God the Father was and who he is. But I'm glad that even when his face is hidden, his word's still true. His promises are still valid. His Holy Spirit is still real. And many times God hides himself from us to make us desire him even more. I think we'll see that happen here in Psalm 13. And so the psalmist, he is sad. He is sorrowful. He is saying to God, you forgot me. There is stress between him and God. There is stress with his own soul. He's communing with his heart and his soul. Death seems to loom more real on the horizon to him in the psalm. And then there's stress from the enemy in verse number 2 and verse 4. He does not name the enemy, but nevertheless, he is stressed. He is sad. He is sorrowful because of the state that he's in. But then we move to the next two verses, verse 3 and 4, and everything changes. We go from sadness to supplication. Here David prays in verse number 3 to the Lord, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, light mine eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. And this is prayer meeting. May I say to you tonight that here's where everything changed for David. Here's where things changed for us. Probably the greatest need of the professing church today, evangelical and reformed, is our prayer life. Or the lack thereof. And David here goes from his sorrow and his sadness and his stress to crying out to God for help. His petition is simple, Lord, consider, remember me and hear me. Well, God didn't forget him. And I got news for you, God hears us. He doesn't always say yes, and he doesn't always respond right away. But he certainly hears us. So prayer becomes the turning point here. This is where we need to find ourselves in time of trial and difficulty. Prayer is always face way out of the darkness. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I think one of the things that we most need to be reminded of as God's people is that we have 24/7 access to the throne of grace. And how often we don't use it. You know, I said, I'm from the South. And I said, in the South, we fix things. We're always going to fix things. And when we get into trouble, we try to fix it instead of going to the Lord and taking our petitions to Him in prayer. And usually when we try to fix it, it gets worse. But David here begins to cry out to God for help. And every trial ought to run by the throne of grace for help in our time of need. Matthew Henry said, we should never allow ourselves to make complaints, but what they are fit to be offered up to God and what drives us to our knees. Matthew Henry said, if we're going to complain, we ought to do it on our knees while we're asking God for help. That's the place to complain and ask for help. David's prayer is very honest. It's very straightforward. It's not very simple. I mean, it's very simple. It's not very difficult. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes. The word lighten there is the word enlighten. David is saying, Lord, show me, not necessarily why I'm going through all this. You know, we always want an answer for that. But he's saying, Lord, show me the way out of it. What is the answer for me to get help? Turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. We ought to be praying the same thing, not only when we're in trouble, but on a daily basis. This ought to be part of our prayer. Ephesians 1, that great book on election and salvation by grace alone. There's some great truths there. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 17. Paul here is praying for the church at Ephesus. And he said in verse 17, and notice the wording closely, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of what? Him. Lord, reveal yourself to your people. We ought to be praying that, Lord, reveal more of yourself. Of course, now we got to be reading the Word of God if we're going to see more of it, because that's where He's found. You know, we can pray and not read. We're not going to see very much. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being, and here it is, the word enlightened. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. And my, that will change the darkest night of our trial. And so David said, Lord, consider me, remember me, hear me, and then enlighten my eyes. David's not only praying here for God to give him some relief, but David here is praying concerning the honor of God. In verse number 4, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He said, Lord, your honor's at stake. The world is watching how you respond to me in this trial and this crisis. And so he said, Lord, help me, and Lord, you vindicate your name. I'm glad David cried out to God. My, what a difference between verse 1 and 2 and verse 3 and 4. We need to be reminded tonight that he who hears and answers prayer was a man of sorrows himself. He understands, and we need to take our petitions to him. So David goes from sadness in verse 1 and 2 to supplication in verse 3 and 4. And then we get to verse 5 and 6. Then comes the singing. I mean, there is a drastic transformation between verses 1 and 2 and verse 5 and 6. Verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. That seems to be past tense. My heart shall rejoice, present tense, in thy salvation or thy deliverance. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Now then we see the man who said four times, God, how long? How long? We see that individual now trusting and thankful to God for deliverance and for help. He said, Lord, I trust you. I have trusted in thy mercy. David said many times, I relied on you and your mercy, your goodness, your grace. You've never let me down. But it's amazing how just the right situation will put us on bottom. And we end up in the slough of despond, as Bunyan talked about. But he vows here, Lord, I'm going to commit all that I have to you. There is some commitment on David's part in verse number 5 and verse 6. Lord, I surrender no matter what happens to me, as long as you help me, as long as you deliver me. It doesn't matter what happens to me. We have to come to that place as a child of God. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And David here said, Lord, conform me to your will. I surrender to your will. And so out of sadness, into supplication, and then singing. The lost cannot sing the hymn that David sings in verse 5 and 6. I have trusted thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord. World doesn't know that song, but you and I do. God is all-knowing. He is ever-present. And let me tell you, his promises are just like he is. They're unfailing. God cannot be other than he is. And he's never been unfaithful. He's never been untrue. And so our faith must be based in the promises of God's word. God always keeps his promise. God cannot lie. He's full of mercy and unfailing love for his people. You say, so that eliminates my problems. No. Faith does not eliminate our problems. It does not eliminate our trials and our sadness, but it does give us something to help take us through them. Many today would say the trials are too great. All around us, people are, as they say, throwing in the towel. I quit. But oh, a child of God cannot quit. We must rest in the hope of verse number 6. Look at it with me just for a moment. He said, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And that's not a word that we use in our everyday English these days. But it's a wonderful word. And it does not sound like the same writer, verse number 1, who's talking. He said, Lord, you have blessed me bountifully. He speaks of blessings from God. He speaks of the benefits of the grace of God. And the word here has the idea of maturity. Lord, thank you for working in my life bountifully that I may grow, that I may mature. And there again is often the reason of our trials. Read the Puritans. They were very clear about that. But the reason of our trials many times is that God may continue that work of sanctification, that he may mature us, that he may make us more like himself. And certainly David has that in view here. Lord, you have blessed me bountifully. And so whether we're facing a dark providence or whether we're facing a silent providence, sometimes it's as though God's not speaking at all. We read his word, we pray, we don't seem to be getting anywhere. But even in that, God's still there. And then we get the bright providence that comes when we see verse 5 and 6 in David's life. And so as we look in the mirror of God's word, we have to ask ourselves, are we trusting ourselves? Or are we trusting God to take care of us? Have we become impatient with God? God, the trial is taking too long. I can't take it anymore. Lord, I give up. Are we trusting him? Are we asking God to reveal himself to us? David said, enlighten my eyes. Let me see more of you. I want to close this evening, and I know I've sort of rushed through because I want you to have plenty of time to pray. But I want to close this evening with the words to a hymn by an Anglican hymn writer, Henry Lyte. Incidentally, many of those hymns in the book we were singing out of tonight were written by Anglicans, different sort than we have today, maybe. But Henry Lyte penned these words, and I thought they were very appropriate to go with this psalm. He said, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is this sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me." Last verse he said, "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Abide with me. Abide with me." And may the Lord bless and honor his word tonight. And may his name be glorified. Amen. Brother Mark.